ज्ञानं तिमिरन्दस्य निरञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय राधा माधव कुञ्ज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुञ्ज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय राधा माधव कुञ्ज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोद नन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोद नन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुञ्ज विहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोद नन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोद नन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, वनचारी, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवादिगाचार्य स्तोत्र श्रीमद् ऐसी भक्तिग्रंथ स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवादिगाचार्य सद्र सत्री श्रीमद् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नाम आचार्य श्री हरिदास कुमार की जय। प्रेम को हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर सरस्वती गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवद्वीप धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगमाय की जय। यमुनामाय की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ की जय। श्री श्री ललित विशाखा देवी की जय। श्री श्री छोटा राधा गोपीनाथ की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्र महारानी की जय। श्री श्री घोर निताय की जय। निताय गो प्रेमानंदे। ओ ग्लोरियस सिटी ऑफ द वर्ल्ड। Oh, glories to the Assembled Devotees. Oh, glories to the Assembled Devotees. Thank you very much. Oh, glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Oh, glories to the Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Shtaya Bhulis Madhe Javira Kaswamita Namane Namacharya Padaya Nita Kripunane Gopta Dandana Kakamdane Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Shtaya Bhulis Madhe Bhakti Viranta Swamita Namane Namaste Saraswata Deva Gauravani Bacharne Nirshay Shunyani Pastade Stane Hare Krishna. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Cheva Narotamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayed Nasta Prayeshu Fabadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatir Tamashlokir Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtikir. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, the creative impetus by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. He is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we're reading from chapter 18, the residents of Jambodweep offer prayers. And we'll discuss text number 6, right? Yeah. And we'll first do text number 5. So I'll just read text number 5. Vijot bhavastana niroda karmate yak kartur angikritam api apravritaha yuktang nachitrang tvayi karane sarvatmani vyatirikte chavastutaha. I'll just read you the word for word. Vishva, of the whole universe. Ubhava, of the creation. Stana, of the maintenance. Niroda, of the annihilation. Karma, these activities. Te, of you, O dear Lord. He, indeed. Akartuhu, aloof. Angigritam, still accepted by the Vedic literature. Api, although. Apavritaha, untouched by all these activities. Yuktam, befitting. Na, not. Chitram, wonderful. Tvayi, in you. Karya Karane, the original cause of all effects. Sarva Atmani, in all respects. Vyatirikte, set apart. Cha, also. Vastutaha, the original substance. Translation. O Lord, although you are completely detached from the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world, and are not directly affected by these activities, they are all attributed to you. We do not wonder at this, for your inconceivable energies perfectly qualify you to be the cause of all causes. You are the active principle in everything, although you are separate from everything. Thus we can realize that everything is happening because of your inconceivable energy. So now we'll do text 6 together. Please repeat. Vedan Yuga Ante Tamasa Tirishkritan Tiraskritan Rasatalat Yaha Nirturanga Vigraha Pratyadade Vai Kavaye Abhyachate Tasmai Namaha Te Avitata Ihitaya Avitata Ihitaya Iti. Please repeat. Vedan Yuganta Tamasa Tiraskritan Rasa Talatyo Nir Turanga Vigraha Prajada Devai Kavaye Bijachate Tasmai namaste vitate hitayati. Tasmai namaste vitate hitayati. Tasmai namaste vitate hitayati. Vedan yugante tamasati rashkritan. Rasataladyo nirturanga vigraha. Prajada devai kavaye bijachate. Tasmai namaste vitate hitayaiti. Vedan yugante tamasati rashkritan. Rasataladyo nirturanga vigraha. Prajada devai kavaye bijachate. Tasmai namaste vitate hitayati. Vedan yugante tamasati raskritan. Rasataladyo nirturanga vigraha. Prajada devai kavaye biyachate. Tasmai namaste vitate hitayeti. Vedan yugante tamasati raskritan. Rasataladyo nirturanga vigraha. Prajada devai kavaye biyachate. Tasmai namaste vitate hitayiti. This is a difficult verse, okay? Please repeat, word for word. Vedan, the four Vedas, Yuga Ante, at the end of the millennium, Tamasa, by the demon of ignorance personified, Tiraskritan, stolen away, Rasa Talat, from the lowest planetary system, Rasatala, Yaha, who? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nirturanga Vigraha, excuse me, assuming the form of half horse, half man. Pradyadade, returned. Vai, indeed. Kavaye, to the Supreme Poet, Lord Brahma. Abhyachate, when he asked for them. Tasmai, unto him, the form of Hayagriva. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Te, to you. Avitata ihitaya, whose resolution never fails. Iti, thus. Translation. At the end of the millennium, ignorance personified assumed the form of a demon, stole all the Vedas, and took them down to the planet of Rasatala. Supreme Lord, however, in his form of Hayagriva, retrieved the Vedas and returned them to Lord Brahma when he begged for them. Offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails. Please repeat. At the end of the millennium, ignorance personified assumed the form of a demon, stole all the Vedas, and took them down to the planet of Rasatala. The Supreme Lord, however, in his form of Hayagriva, retrieved the Vedas and returned them to Lord Brahma, when he begged for them. I offer my respectful obeisances and to the Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails. Purport. Although Vedic knowledge is imperishable within this material world, it is sometimes manifest and sometimes not. When the people of this material world become too absorbed in ignorance, the Vedic knowledge disappears. Lord Hayagriva, or Lord Matsya, however, always protects the Vedic knowledge, and in due course of time it is again distributed through the medium of Lord Brahma. Brahma is the trustworthy representative of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, when he again asked for the treasure of Vedic knowledge, the Lord fulfilled his desire. Om agyanati marandasya gananjana salakaya chakshuro militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantigam vandeham shri guru shri yuta parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sakrajatam sagana raganatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parichana saitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sagana lalita shri vishakam vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpat Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Ghora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Sriman Rasa Rasa Rambi Vangsivat Tatastitaha Karshan Venu Swaner Gopir Gopinata Shriestunaha Sushila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental melody of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vangsivat and attracts the attention of the coward damsels with the sound of a celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Hari Om Tat Sat. So repeat the verse. Vedan yugante tamasati raskritan rasa taladyo nirturanga vigraha prajarade vai kavaye bijachate tasmai namaste vidate hitaya itai. So, this is Sukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. As most of you know, Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by the son of a Brahmana to die in 7 days by a snake bird. I don't know exactly what that is, but that's what it said. This is 5,000 years ago, so apparently in those days you had these kind of mystical animals, and that's what killed him. After this discussion. King Parikshit, he was the king of the world. The world in 5,000 years ago was ruled from Delhi, and then it was called Hastinapur. Hastina means elephant, and Pur means city. It was the city of elephants, because Prabhupada explains that to keep one elephant takes a lot of money. So in that city there were thousands and thousands of elephants. It was a very rich city. So the whole world was ruled from that city. And so this discussion, or it's more that Sukadeva Goswami, because Parikshit Maharaj, he was a very wise king, a very enlightened king. So he asked Sukadeva Goswami, what should one hear before one dies? So that is this Bhagavatam. This is the information, the pastimes of the Lord that you should hear before you die. And Prabhupada says, we are not so lucky as Parikshit Maharaj. We don't know when we're going to die. We might die any day. Parikshit Maharaj knew. It's 7 days, for sure. It was predicted like that. But Prabhupada says we don't know. So this Bhagavatam is for everybody. Because we might think, oh, you know, Parikshit Maharaj, he was cursed to die in 7 days, but I'm going to live really long. So, but we don't know. So Bhagavatam is also for us. And so this discussion is mainly about Krishna and about the devotees of Krishna and how these devotees obtain the supreme perfection. And this particular section is called the prayers offered to the Lord by the residents of Jambudvip. So I would like to explain it a little bit. This universe, it's actually, it will be described in this canto. Dvip means island, and jambu, I forgot what it exactly means. So the idea is that it's a subtle disk, like you have ghosts. You can't see ghosts, but they're there. So many things that you can't see, they're there. Like Prabhupada gives the example of radio waves, or you have, for instance, television. Television, it goes through the air, and then it comes into your television, and then you can see it. But you can't see the actual signal, but it's actually floating in the air. So there's so many things that you can't see, but they're there. So similarly, there's this Jambudvipa, and it's like a kind of a disk in the middle of the universe. So the planet Earth is situated on that disk. The Earth itself is gross matter, but that disk is subtle matter. So how that exactly works, I don't know exactly. The point, however, for today is that this disk or bhumandal, mandal means disk, and bhu means earth. So this, because sometimes the earth planet also is called bhumandal. Generally, though, it is referred as this disk. That is might be also why people might have been confused, that they were thinking that the earth planet was flat, because it's from this idea that this bhumandal is a disk, and the earth is situated on that, and it's kind of. Sometimes they speak about the earth and like the planet earth, and sometimes they speak about this disk, but it's the same word, bhumandal, or bhu. Om bhur bhuvak svah, that is the Gayatri. Bhur is the, this earth, and then bhuvak is higher, and then sva is heavenly planets. Yeah, so it's a disk, and there's different islands on that disk, and the residents of those islands are very, very elevated. Like after this verse, we'll read about another island, because this island, let me see if I can find it for you. So there's different names, and they worship different expansions of the Lord. Like the next one, I'll just tell you, it's called the land known as Harivarsha, and in Harivarsha they worship Narsingadev. So this land is let me see. This is here. He speaks about Badrashrava Varsha. That is that is what we're doing now. Badrashrava. That is where they worship Haya Sirsha. Or Hayagriva. So Hayagriva is the half man, half horse incarnation of the Lord. And we're discussing the other day that Lord Nrisingadev and Vamanadev, they are directly Krishna. So I'm not sure about Hayagriva. I'm assuming, actually, that he is also directly Krishna. That is at least how he's worshipped here by the residents as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, there are expansions. I read. I should have maybe prepared a little bit more, but I didn't have so much time. I read their. Anyway, it's an expansion. There's all these different expansions on these islands. So I forgot the exact technical term, but I can. If you want, I can look it up for you later. So here it says in text number one, I'll just read it to you. Lord Haya Shirsha is very dear to the devotees, and he's the director of all religious principles. And it says here, Badrashrava, the son of Dharmaraj, rules a tract of land known as Badrashva Varsha. So it's the son of Yamaraj or Dharmaraj. He is ruling that tract. Yamaraj is one of the Mahajans. So he has a son we learn from this, and he's ruling that tract of land. Lord Hayashirsha, or Hayagriva, is very dear to the devotees and he's director of all religious principles. Fixed in the topmost trance, Bhadrajrava and his associates offer their respectful obeisance to the Lord and chant the following prayers with careful pronunciation. So we just read one of those prayers. So, these are very important prayers. Otherwise, Sukadeva Goswami wouldn't have said them. He wouldn't have recited them to Parikshit Maharaj. So this is another way to meditate on the Lord. And it's also part of the transcendental history of the universe. We have to understand that probably right now, these devotees, they are there. They are on that island called Bhadrajrava Varsha, and they're reciting these prayers. So this is very advanced. It's a different, you could say it's a different dimension. So I can read a little bit again, text 5, see what comes up. So here they're praying, O Lord, although you are completely detached from the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this material world, and are not directly affected by these activities, they are all attributed to you. We do not wonder at this, for your inconceivable energies perfectly qualify you to be the cause of all causes. You are the active principle in everything, although you are separate from everything. Thus we can realize that everything is happening because of your inconceivable energy. This is amazing prayers. So it's pretty clear. So I'll go on with the next one. At the end of the millennium, ignorance personified assumed the form of a demon, stole all the Vedas, and took them down to the planet of Rasatala. So I studied it a little bit. I'm not sure who this demon is, but it's ignorance personified. So it's not Lord Shiva, of course, because Lord Shiva would never do that. He is the controller of ignorance. He is in charge of the mode of ignorance. But this is, it's a demon, and he is ignorance personified. Like I once fell asleep during the Bhagavatam class, and then Satchinanda Maharaj, he said, Prabhu, you're being embraced by Yoga Nidra. That is not good for a brahmachari. Because Yoga Nidra, she's a devi, she's a goddess. You know, so for a brahmachari, it's not good that a goddess is embracing him. So like that, he was making the point. So we have to understand that as Nidra Devi, it is sleep. Nidra means sleep. That is also personified. It's a goddess that is in charge of sleep. Like actually, I can tell you one side story. It's important that Parvita told me this story. That Nidra Devi, she was complaining to Lord Krishna that I cannot do my service. You know, these devotees of you, they're not sleeping. They just work all day and they don't sleep. And I cannot do my service. So Lord Krishna was saying, well, I give you a special benediction. Whenever there's Krishna Katha or Bhagavatam class, then you can do your service. Whenever they are inattentive, that is actually the stipulation. So it's very difficult. I always fall asleep in Bhagavatam class. So, but we have to kind of be captured by what is said, then we'll become attentive. So I don't know if it's true, but Parvita told me this. I guess it's true. I don't know where I read it. I never really checked it, but it's probably in some Purana, some Shastra. There's this story, because there's many stories like that, and I always remembered it. So I thought it was very interesting. Anyway, the point I want to make is that there's all these gods or goddesses, like we were just reciting Sarasvati. And so we pay our respectful obeisance unto Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, because you know. We're trying to learn the knowledge from Bhagavatam. So we pray to the goddess of learning, Sarasvati. She is actually, it's a little bit relevant, she is the wife of Lord Brahma. And he is called Kaveya, the supreme poet. Lord Brahma is called the Kaveya. Kavi is also, it's like a title. Like we have this passage between Nitai and this Kavi. And he was very, very learned, and he was a little bit proud. And he was trying to, because Nimai had already had a reputation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was called Nimai when he was young, because he was born under this neem tree, very bitter leaves, very healthy. So he challenged him, and then he recited these 100 verses glorifying the Ganga. And then Nimai Pandit, that's what he was called. He was called, this is another title. Pandit means learned. He pointed out one verse where there was one tiny little, kind of, not a mistake, was more like a discrepancy. And then the Kavi, he surrendered to Nimai Pandit because he could see that he was more intelligent than him. That is how it goes. Huh? If two logicians or pundits, they challenge each other, then the one who is more intelligent, then the other one has to surrender to him. This is the etiquette. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would preach. He would go to different devotees, like in Varanasi, and he would defeat them with Shastra. And then the devotees, they would surrender to him. This is why it's difficult to preach in Kali Yuga, because if sometimes people are not sincere, you defeat their arguments, but they keep on arguing, and then there's just no hope. But generally, if somebody is sincere and you defeat his arguments, then he'll become a devotee. Like Prabhu was explaining the other day about this lady on the street. He said she wasn't really an atheist. She was more like a, how do you call that? Agnostic. Yeah, agnostic. Agnostic is someone who is doubting. He's not sure about God or God does exist or not. They say, I'm an agnostic. I keep it up in the air. I'm open for discussion. So Prabhu, he I think rightly so, he said that she was an agnostic. And you know, basically, you defeated her arguments and she took the book. You know, so that is a sincere person. So she must be very special. She's already mentioned so many times in the Bhagavatam class. So, that is a sincere person. So, so we have to pray to all these different gods. Mainly we pray to Krishna, but we can pray also to Goddess Saraswati. That's what we just did. You know, the Vaishnava is respectful to everybody. So here we have this ignorance, and this is also a god, but it's more like a demon, because ignorance is kind of inauspicious. Ignorance personified assumed the form of a demon. That's what it says here. And he stole all the Vedas and took them down to the planet of Rasatala. So I studied it a little bit. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, Rasatala is the same as the planet Earth. I looked it up. Planet Earth, the diameter is about 8,000 miles, which is about, 12,000 kilometers. That's the diameter. That's how big the Earth is. Not so big. So the Rasatala is similar size. And there's other stories also about this planet. I think... I forgot. I don't want to speculate. But there's other stories in the Bhagavatam where the demons, they steal something and then they go to Rasatala, this planet. It's kind of an infamous planet. So similar, this demon... He went to this planet. He took the Vedas and he went to the Rasatala planet. And then the Supreme Lord, in the form of Hayagriva, he retrieved the Vedas and returned them to Lord Brahma when he begged for them. So Lord Brahma, he is mentioned here as the Kaveye, the Supreme Poet. And so he begged Lord Hayagriva for the Vedas. And it's very interesting what Prabhupada said in the purport. He said... I thought it was very sweet. He said, Brahma is the trustworthy representative of the Supreme Lord. It's very nice. So we should all become trustworthy representatives of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes Vishnumurti is telling me this, that we should do service in such a way that we can pray to the Lord, that you can depend on me. Like I remember Lakshmi Priya, she made one offering to Radhanath Swami, and she said something like that you can trust me. You know, so we can make a prayer like that to the spiritual master and to Krishna, that you can depend on me, you can give me more service. I'm your servant, you know, I'm here, I'm at your service. So that is good. So Lord Brahma, he is the trustworthy servant, so he can be trusted. He's worth trusting. The king, because basically it's the king, I think, that is praying together with his entourage, King Bhadrashrava. He is saying, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails. Avatita ihitaya, whose resolution never fails. So, read the purport. Although Vedic knowledge is imperishable within this material world, it is sometimes manifest and sometimes not. When the people of this material world become too absorbed in ignorance, the Vedic knowledge disappears. So this is very important information. It means that if we, you know, as devotees, come in ignorance, or as Prabhupada says, you become too absorbed in ignorance, then, as Prabhupada would say, the whole thing will go to hell. Or in other words, the Vedic knowledge will disappear. Vedic knowledge means truth. And truth means Krishna. Krishna is the absolute truth. So, Veda means knowledge or truth. So, Vedic knowledge, it's not just ABC knowledge or theoretical knowledge. It's practical knowledge. It's like this book, like I said in the beginning, it's knowledge how to go back to Godhead. We don't belong here. We're not this body. We're a spirit soul. The soul is situated inside of the heart, and it goes from one body to the next. Since, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, since time immemorial. And we need to come out of this ignorance. This world is called ignorance. You know, it's dark. Tamas. Tamas means dark. Like if there's no sun, it's dark. Like Radhas is a very nice place. There's everywhere lights. Just now, they put up a light here at the side of the castle. And also they put one on the museum. So there's everywhere lights. But sometimes we have a power failure and it's dark. It's dark, especially now during the winter. So the universe is like that. It's a dark place. And it's cold. It's very, very cold. Like if you go outside of the Earth planet, if you go into the sky or the ether, it's very, very cold. Even if you go up, like Himalayas, it's cold. You freeze to death. It's a very unforgiving place, you know, this material world. Like even in Radhades, if you would go in the forest for one day and you don't have warm clothes, you'll probably be dead. Or very, very sick. And in 2-3 days, you're definitely dead. So it's a very tough place, material world. So we are here. It's called also called Durga. It's like a prison house. So we should come out of this ignorance. And the way to come out of this ignorance is through knowledge. And of course, the spiritual master, he is the bona fide representative of Hayagriva, or Matsya, or Krishna. And so we should surrender to him. That is what it says in Bhagavad Gita. Tat vidi prani patena, pari prasnena sevya, upadekshantite jnanam, jnaninas tatva darshina. One should approach a spiritual master and render service unto him. Inquire from him submissively. The self-realized souls, they can render knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So it's a parampara. Krishna reveals it to Brahma, Brahma reveals it to Narada Muni, Narada Muni reveals it to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the author of the Vedas, of the Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva reveals it on and on and on and on. Then it comes all the way down to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, he is also God. Having said that, he also, like he found, for instance, this Brahma Sangita. And he never wanted to hear that he was God. He would all the time talk about Krishna and read Srimad Bhagavatam. You see, so, you know, even when God comes, even when Krishna comes, he refers back to the Shastra. Like it's said here, the Vedic knowledge is imperishable. It's basically always there. So it's eternal. So even God depends on the Vedic knowledge. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the six Goswamis, and then you see there the line that comes down to Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada, he taught so many disciples. So, and like for instance Govinda Das, he was explaining that Prabhupada would sometimes talk about Krishna and, you know, about the cowherd boys. And she said that she could feel that Prabhupada was actually there. Because it's the idea is that it's absolute. So when you discuss these things, because they're eternal pastimes, it's a little bit difficult to understand because we are so conditioned, especially in the West, and we think of this linear kind of thing that is called history. There is a beginning, there was an ape, and then it goes up and up and up, and then there's evolution, and it goes to something really, you know, great. Of course, this is all bogus. First of all, there is no proof that we come from the apes. And second of all, it looks like things are degrading. In fact, we know that things are degrading. So there's no evolution, there is devolution. It gets worse and worse and worse. Everybody knows that. So there's no really a thing like that. If it's anything, it goes in circles like the seasons. So, but we're so conditioned that we think linear. So then, for us to think about eternal, it's a little bit difficult, you know. So, but these pastimes are eternal. So you can enter them anytime. So when Prabhupada spoke about them, and because it's absolute, he actually entered that particular pastime. He was actually there. And Govindra said that you could feel that Prabhupada was actually there with Krishna and the coward boys. And he said you could not see it, but you could feel that he was there, and therefore you kind of was part of it. You know, you could sense it, that it opened up. And it's difficult to describe. I'm sure she can do a better job. But the point is that even she can describe it perfectly, she was actually there. So that is the point, that they have seen the truth and therefore they can reveal it to you. So this is called parampara. And it is about knowledge. And the main knowledge is what I just explained, that you're not a body, you're a soul, and you need to surrender to Krishna. And Prabhupada explains, if Krishna is not there, then you have to surrender to his representative. So therefore that verse that I just recited, Prabhupada, he mentioned that actually that is the most important verse of Bhagavad Gita, because the surrender that Krishna talks about, it needs to take place to a spiritual master. We need to submit. It's very difficult for us. Like Prema Siddhi used to tell me when I was a bhakta, he said, you should find at least one person that you can surrender to. That you can say, okay, this person is smarter than me. I will surrender to him. I accept that he knows more than me. And what he says, I will do. It's very difficult for us. At least if I look at myself. I mean, I took initiation, but initiation means beginning. It's a gradual process. And it's difficult because, you know, I think I know everything. So, but you have to realize, and the older you get, actually, you realize more and more that you don't know so much. And Prabhupada says that you keep it simple. You just repeat what your spiritual master says, what it says in the Shastra. You don't need to think so much. It's good to think, but you know, if you don't want to think so much, then you just repeat. And that is the Vedic knowledge. That is why it's so important that Hayagriva, and here it says also Lord Matsya, because he kind of did the same thing, that they're protecting the Vedic knowledge. And here it says, and in due course of time, it is again distributed through the medium of Lord Brahma. So, I guess that is kind of the conclusion, because we're speaking here about Vedic knowledge being lost and not lost. So I think there's two practical points that we should be very careful not to associate with the mode of ignorance. Like I once read that if your feet are dirty or there's black spots on your feet, then you invite Kali. Kali can enter there. So Kali also we know, of course, a very famous personality. So you can enter there. So, like I generally, I take a shower and like that, but my room is a little bit dirty, you know. So, and I was, for instance, in Krishna Kshetra's room, and his room was like immaculately clean. And many like advanced devotees, when I come to the room, generally it's very, very clean, you know. So, that is important. Prabhupada mentions that also, that the devotee is clean and his room is also clean. So I have a little difficulty with cleaning my room, but like I said, it's a gradual process. At least I myself try to be clean, so that is a beginning. So, but we have to make sure that we're clean. And I think it was Jamastami, I'm not sure, but that it was also mentioned that if you tolerate ignorance, then you also become an ignorance. It was mentioned, it was a few days ago, it was mentioned in the class. Maybe it was with Gopal Hari. And this lady, she made this point that
Or I think now it was with Rasa Mandala. This lady made this point that sometimes you should also point something out. I would advise though that instead of pointing it out, just do it yourself. Generally, like I was in Amsterdam temple and the shower was so dirty, you know. And Maharaj was staying there, what's his name? Kavi Chandra Maharaj. And I got a little bit upset. So I was preaching to the devotees in the ashram that why don't you clean this, you know? And it got into a little bit of an argument. And then I was thinking, what am I doing, you know? I could have already cleaned it. It takes 5 minutes. So I just cleaned the shower. And then one devotee, he was from India, he said, oh, wow, I didn't know that it could come off. Because I just took like a scrub and I took some, you know, really detergent and I really started scrubbing. So they tried to clean it, but they obviously didn't know how to clean it. So I had to show them. I had to show them. And then when he saw it, then he I think he got inspired. He was thinking, oh, that's how I do it. So it's better to just, you know, lead by example. And we're supposed to be the servant, you see. So it's not very nice if you start telling your master that, you know, why don't you clean the shower? Why we can just clean it, no? It's not such a big deal. And if we don't clean it, then we have to at least understand, okay, now I'm this is dangerous. I am associating with the mode of ignorance. Of course, you know, we also have our own service. I mean, if you start cleaning the whole day, you know, you don't get anything done. Like some devotees have to take care of the cows. So they can't start cleaning here in Radhadesh, because then the cows, they need to get milked. So you have to be reasonable, but at least you should know that, you know, when you're tolerating ignorance, then you're playing with fire. So yeah, we should try not to tolerate ignorance, and whenever we see something dirty, we could clean it, I guess. I don't think it's such a big deal. And then the other thing is that, yeah, we have to take knowledge from a spiritual master. I was very intrigued actually by the purport from yesterday, because Prabhupada, I just wanted to repeat it, I just want to stress it, because it was such an amazing point, and it's kind of what I'm also saying. Prabhupada says that, he says, even liberated souls sometimes become captivated by the illusory energy due to inattentiveness in the transcendental position. So even a pure devotee, he can, well, basically fall down. The example is given of Jat Bharat, or Bharat Maharaj. So we should be very careful. The spiritual master, he gives knowledge, and we should take this knowledge to heart, because that's what it is. Because we say it so many times: spiritual master, spiritual master, spiritual master. But you have a master. You have a master in jiu-jitsu. And you have a master in painting, like Picasso. He was a master painter. Or maybe Picasso is not the best example. Rembrandt, because he was from Belgium, right? Was he from Holland? Holland? Say a Belgian painter? At that time was all one. Anyway, but you got many famous Belgium. Rubens, he's a Belgian for sure. So he's a master. Rubens is a master painter. He had so many disciples and he would train them up. So similarly, you have a spiritual master, you see? So like when I saw Radhanath Swami here in Radhanath, I realized what it meant, a self-realized soul. Because sometimes we get a little bit, at least me personally, we get a little bit mystical. Like, oh, self-realized soul, he's seen the light. Because, you know, at least for myself, I'm contaminated by Mayavadi philosophy. So we tend to think like that. And it might be like that, but that's not really the point, what it means, self-realized soul. What it really means, because that is like a side effect. What it really means is that you realize the self, and that you realize the knowledge about the self. And I could see that. The way he answered the question, the knowledge was completely self-realized. He had realized it himself, and he explained it very, very clearly. And that there were very difficult questions, and he explained them just like that. And I could just see, this is self-realized soul. He has realized the knowledge in Prabhupada's books. So that is what we need to do. And then we can also explain it to others. That's what Prabhupada wants us to do. He wants us also to become spiritual masters. Be a master in spiritual knowledge. And not only knowledge, but also act spiritually. That's what I explained. That we should never try to associate with the mode of ignorance. I said it also in the Bhagavad Gita class, and then I'll stop. The mode of goodness is not optional. We must come to the mode of goodness. And then we go to Sudha Sattva. And then we can enter the spiritual realm. So we shouldn't gamble too much. You know, we've seen so many times so many Sankirtan devotees, and they're like, we're transcendental, you know. And sometimes Prabhupada would say, I mean, I don't want to get too offensive, but sometimes he would say, Sankirtan, they're just Vaishyas. Because just to smash their ego, because Sankirtan devotees would become like, we're doing the most important service. So the point is that we should not do Sankirtan at the cost of our sadhana. This sadhana is really what makes us spiritual persons, you know, getting up early, taking a shower, coming together, chanting Hare Krishna. And also we should have some bhakti for Gopinath. We should have some devotion for Gopinath. Like, you know, every time at 6:45 we have this wonderful darshan. So I was once, I think I told it before, I was once there and I did the puja in the evening, you know. And at least I imagined, but I actually felt it, that at least Gornitai, because I was standing right next to them. And the curtains opened and there was nobody there. And they're dressed up really nicely and they have garlands. And they're like, they were fired up, you know, and the curtains opened. And I could just feel they were like, oh, nobody here, you know. Because that is what Bhaktisiddhanta says. It's not that we should come to see the deity. It's good, it's not bad. But we should also come so that the deity can see us. Like sometimes you see some swamis, they come in at Mangal Artik, and then they have things to do and they leave again. But at least they come, they're here. I'm your servant, I'm here. They check in, you know. So they just tell the deity, I'm here, Hare Krishna, but I have to do nothing, so please excuse me. That's very nice, it's very nice. So, we should have that kind of a relationship, that attachment for Krishna, that we want to see him. So, it is important. Prabhupada says you cannot be clean unless you do deity worship. So, and if you're not clean, then how you can come out of the mode of ignorance? So it's very important. Of course we need to preach. At the same time, you know, Prabhupada said we should boil down the milk. Charity starts at home. We should also, you know, preach to the devotees, and not that we start preaching like that, like I'm doing now a little bit. Please forgive me for that. You know, it's kind of my job when they put me here. More preach by example, like Jamashtami is always fired up about kirtan. So that is preaching. He's preaching to me, Madhu, come to the kirtan. And he's not really telling me like you should come. No, please come. We love to see you there. That is preaching. Then I feel like yes, I'm invited. He wants me to come. And when I come, it's ecstatic. So that we should do. You know, come for Prasadam Prabhu. Or if somebody can't come, save some Prasadam for the devotee. Give the Prasadam to the devotee. You know, like that. So I think I should stop there because it's almost Prasadam time. So you can give now Prasadam to a devotee, if you like. So thank you very much. Maybe there's some comments or question. I think I inspired everybody by the Prasadam. Oh, you want to say something? Yeah, I mean, the thing is, with these kind of questions, with these kind of things, we just have to understand it, you know? And in Holland, especially in Amsterdam, we say one good thing doesn't exclude another. Or like my stretching teacher used to say, Chanakya Pandit says, you can take nectar from a pot of poison, because he was a paka Mayavadi. Although he did turn around at the end of his life. He told all his disciples, take Prabhupada's books. I met him at the end of his life, you know. Take Prabhupada's books. My Mayavadi stretching yoga teacher. So he said, we need all the help we can get. So, this is a prayer, it's in Bhagavatam, and it's a tradition that we say this prayer before reciting the Bhagavatam. And it's there, it's a culture, you know. I mean, Lord Brahma is our guru. And his wife is the goddess of learning. So, I know your Guru Maharaj, he's not married. So still there's some Grihastha gurus. I think there should become more Grihastha gurus. And then you have to respect their wives as well. Right? It's only normal. Or there should be some female gurus as well. And then you have to respect their husbands if they're married. So, yeah. Of course, it's understood that you bow down on the right side to the god, demigod. And to the spiritual master, you bow down to your left side, the side of your heart. So there is some reservation with the demigods. Still, yeah. The prayer is there, and we need everybody's mercy. Like I need all of your mercy. I would not be able to give class if you wouldn't give me your mercy. Like your mercy, it may be vague, but you're giving your mercy by listening to me and by kindly listening to me. Because I had one devotee, and he came. I won't say his name, and he said that he felt that I was there, and I won't mention the other devotees' names. He felt that he was just being scrutinized. That we were just, and it was a little bit true, we were just waiting for the mistake. We were making notes. And then when the class was finished, we would kind of like point out the mistake. That is not kindly listening. That is like not the way to listen, actually. And I apologized to him. And he felt very uncomfortable giving class. So he wasn't really able to give class. So we need the mercy like that of all the devotees. And Mother Saraswati is also a devotee. That is actually a very important point that I didn't understand so much. But all the demigods, including all the ladies, they're all devotees. All of them. All the Gandharvas, all the Apsaras. They're all devotees of Lord Vishnu. So we should respect them very, very much. They might not be devotees of Lord Krishna. They might not be pure devotees. But are we pure devotees? We're trying to become pure devotees. I mean, that is the program here. It's not really the program in the heavenly planet. So that's where the difference is. Problem in the heavenly planet is not so much catered to become pure devotee. It's just catered to be a devotee and to do your service. But here in this temple, it's really focused on becoming a pure devotee. Ayendra was always telling this. We want to do pure devotional service. So that's where it gets a little bit tricky. But if I look at myself, then I'm definitely not more advanced than Mother Saraswati. So I definitely need her mercy. And I need the mercy of my own mother. She's not even a devotee. But without her, I wouldn't be here. So it can be like I don't want to call Mother Saraswati a stepping stone. But it's a little bit like that, you know. We need like her mercy to understand the Bhagavatam. And then we can progress further. And we can just go out of the universe. And, you know, to be honest, she will also come out of the universe. Because it's understood that at the end of Lord Brahma's life, the whole Brahma Loka will automatically go to Vaikuntha. Everybody on Brahma Loka, automatically. So in that sense, she's also a pure devotee. Is that right? Okay. I think we can stop there. Mother Saraswati ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sisi Radha Gopinath ki jai, Nita Gopremanande, Hari Hari Bol.